House come to order if members can take their seats.
This budget is a huge job maker, and the number one solution to economic insecurity is a job.
Hungry children can't learn, and it's our responsibility to try to help.
Equality and opportunity.
I believe most people are here because they want to do some good.
Welcome back to Capital Ideas. We've got a good conversation today with Representative Addison Richards. That's Addison with one D. But first, in case you got here by mistake, I'll say this. Capital Ideas is the podcast where members of the majority Democrats in the Washington State House of Representatives sit down at the Capitol and talk about ideas. Those ideas tend to be about the legislative priorities of the House Democrats, which essentially means the priorities of the majority of Washingtonians. Affordability, community safety, transportation, housing, healthcare, education, the environment, and jobs in the economy, and more. Getting back to Representative Addison Richards, he works for the residents of District Number 26. He's an attorney. He lives in Gig Harbor. He has a dog named Blue, and he's midway through his second year here in the House. We recorded this on Groundhog Day 2026, and here we go. Good morning, Representative Addison Richards, and welcome to Capital Ideas, or I guess I should say, welcome back to Capital Ideas.
Well, it's wonderful to be back. Good to see you.
You too. It is February 2nd of 2026, and the last time we talked on the microphones was February 11th of 2025. So it's been about a year, and in terms of your legislative career, it's been a heck of a year. I'd like to just start off by getting you to tell me a little bit about how's your first term been?
Well, it's the privilege of my lifetime, I can tell you that. I grew up in the district I represent and have lived in all corners of it, went to Peninsula High School. And, you know, when I got this job, obviously had a lot of ideas on what we'd be able to accomplish or not. And in the last session, being able to see our district get some real tangible wins meant a lot to me. And one of them in particular, getting West Sound Tech funded to the tune of $42 million to help finish that school, which was half done. And we came here last year. No money was allocated in any budget proposal, House, Senate, and Governor, to finish that school. So to go from nothing to being able to finish it and make good on wanting to create more pathways to trades and tech opportunities and entrepreneurship opportunities for our students was a big deal for me, and I'm grateful to be a part of that, and being able to drive by that school and seeing people in hard hats finishing that project is great. And then on something like the ferry system, we've got so much work to do, but getting a couple more boats back in operation last year that had been sidelined so we could have pre-pandemic service on the Bremerton and Southworth runs was also something that we got done, along with maintaining fast ferry funding through the end of the World Cup this year. Though we've, like I said, got work to do because two of the boats on runs I mentioned are now out of service because of maintenance issues. So we've got, our work cut out for us. And that's, I think, the fun thing about this place is that there's no shortage of work to do and new opportunities to make progress.
Let's talk about the fast ferries for a minute. These have been an overwhelming success, have they not?
Yes, they have. This system has just taken off, right? It was originally funded out of the idea that if we were losing service on the Bremerton route due to the push to electrify the ferry system, then, you know, we would need to supplement the routes with the fast ferry service, right? And in the time that we've done that, that service has just been so well used by the community to get to work, to get to the doctor, to get to Mariners games. And it's just taken off and become a real staple for our community and something that we now rely on. Kids Have Transit's doing a fantastic job managing it with the dollars they have, from what I can tell. And what we've got to continue to do here in Olympia is look for additional opportunities to expand that system across the Sound, enable more counties to be able to stand up their own fast ferry system. Because I think that what we need to be thinking about as a legislature, especially because of the lack of investment we've made in state ferries over the past few decades and the reality of how expensive it is to build new boats and how long that's going to take, Like, we've got to create more slack in the system. We've got to create more options to minimize disruptions when boats go out of service, right? Like, being able to ramp up more passenger ferry use across the Sound could really help, especially if we've got a boat that goes down and now we need to make sure that the state ferry service is fully functional on a place like the San Juan Islands where they don't have great passenger ferry options. They got to get groceries delivered. And so we've got to be, I think, thinking really strategically about using that system as part of how we maintain a reliable ferry service for people across the Puget Sound going forward.
I watched a video recently of you speaking with the head of the Kitsap Ferry outfit, and it was very exciting because what I saw on that video was a couple of new-looking ferries. One was a hydrofoil, I believe, and the other, I don't even remember what was special about it, but it was very exciting. And as a member of the Transportation Committee, I know you can't snap your fingers and make money appear, but you at least are in a position to talk about how realistic this kind of investment is.
And that's just it, right? We are in a very difficult budgetary circumstance where on the Transportation Committee, we have declining revenues because gas consumption is going down. We're putting a lot of emphasis on getting more fuel-efficient cars on the road, getting more electric vehicles on the road because we're wanting to reduce emissions and cars are one of the biggest pollutants. However, at the same time, you know, the number one way that we fund our transportation system is by gas consumption. And then, you know, what we're also trying to be mindful of, and what I'm trying to make sure folks on the Transportation Committee are mindful of, or that communities like mine, we don't have, perhaps apart from the ferry system, robust access to public transit. We've got to drive everywhere, particularly if you're out on the Key Peninsula living in Long Branch, for example. So we've got to be thinking about the long-term sustainability of our transportation system and our budget. But there are exciting opportunities on that front, though, to create some more public-private partnerships. There are a couple different private fast ferry companies that would like to make investments in the area and bring service here. One of them, operates an electric fast foil ferry that I rode out of Gig Harbor this past interim during the summer. And it's exciting. There's exciting opportunities out there. So we've got to be creative. And I'm looking at solutions that, you know, range from utilizing the existing money that we have allocated for our ferry system in different ways to seeing how feasible any additional leverage on the bonding proposal from the governor could get us. My preference right now is to not take out any more risk, but to utilize existing resources a little bit differently.
And just to put a downer on everything, the existing resources are pretty thin at the moment for transportation. And this is a supplemental budget year. I know it's way too early to say, here's what the supplemental transportation budget is going to resemble. But are you getting the impression that it is going to be a no new investment year?
We're having this debate actively. There's been a lot of new projects funded over the past few biennium. We need new infrastructure to reduce traffic congestion and get goods and services where they need to go. For example, the State Route 167 connection has been on the to-do list for a long time and is necessary for getting freight in and out of the port of Tacoma a lot more efficiently so that we can get stuff on grocery store shelves a lot faster and lower cost, for example, when we're saving money on the transportation costs that are being borne. So there are things like that, but I think we are recognizing on the committee that doing those new projects can't come at the expense of maintaining what we have. We've got a lot of roads and bridges that need repair and replacement, and we're looking at how to fund those things going forward. And the governor has a proposal to do bonding for preservation and maintenance. And I know that's a big discussion on the committee for how wise that may be right now and in the current fiscal environment, or if there's other ways that we might be able to accomplish those goals. But one other alternative that I'm working on and working through is on the regulatory side, particularly with permitting. You know, when the Fox Island Bridge, county-owned bridge right now, but it's in desperate need of replacement, and the county has projected that it could take up to 4 years to permit for a new bridge, which is unfathomable, frankly, given the fact that there's already a bridge there, and we know how to build these things. And 4 more years of waiting around on the regulatory side is going to continue to exacerbate the cost. So I've got a permitting reform effort underway, introduced a bill to get us started on that this past Friday, actually, hoping to have a hearing before the cutoff in our transportation committee. And then I'm also working with the work group that we started last year to come up with ideas on the next few phases. So continue to reach out or look out for the effort that we have going on there, because if we can save time and money on the front end of a project, now that's going to free up amazing amounts of resources when we're not spending so much money on the back end of a project by simply just making sure that we're doing it on time and on budget. It's not rocket science. I think there are very tangible ways that we need to rethink how we do things. And it's not just on the regulatory side of transportation projects, where I think people are right to sort of scratch their heads and go, how can we build a bridge so fast when it's an emergency, but it takes 4 years to build one under normal circumstances? And finding ways to make that make sense, especially when we are, you know, experiencing budgetary challenges. But then another example that came up last week during transportation is we were giving a presentation on new tolling technologies, and they're talking about doing a study for an app. And I don't know that any of that is necessary, and I pointed it out to the committee and the commission, because currently when you go underneath a camera at the Tacoma Narrows Bridge, if you don't have a good-to-go account, they still are able to bill you in the mail because they identify your license, and so you get billed directly. And then if you have a good-to-go account, they identify your license and bill you directly. So the idea that we need to spend more time and money on new systems for tolling technology just seems unreasonable to me, especially right now. And the practicality of it just doesn't add up. And then on top of that, right, if they do go to your license plate and you have a good-to-go account because your good-to-go sticker isn't working quite right, now they're billing people an extra 25 cents. And you got to go catch that and then refute it with DOL or, you know, the Department of Transportation direct, right? So they are charging people 25 cents for the fact that the technology they sent them to charge them a toll isn't working right. And it's up to you, the toll payer, to figure that out.
One of the goals of the House Democratic Caucus for the 2026 session is affordability, along with public safety and some other priorities that we'll get into. What's going on in terms of you with affordability, which you ask anybody on the street, and right now that's going to be one of their top three answers if you say, what do you care about right now in our society?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, what comes up routinely, even when I'm out in the district, is hearing about concerns with food prices. And so we've got an effort on the Agriculture Natural Resources Committee to really look at what are the cost drivers for our agriculture industry and our ag sector, especially at a time when we're seeing that our ag sector is really struggling. We're losing farms every day and our prices are going up. And so we've got to think about where we're out of line with comparable states. That's on, you know, labor and transportation and regulatory impacts. And so we're taking a real deep dive on those things. And we've got a couple different bills launched at addressing affordability and food security on the food price side. And then beyond that, I've got a couple different bills to provide tax relief. You know, one is a bill that undoes the increased sales tax on planes valued over $500,000. I think the idea behind this increase was to go after luxury planes. But what we ended up doing is hitting stuff like the agriculture sector. Any plane that is keeping our crops alive and growing, our ag planes that fly in and out of Eastern Washington, all of those are valued over $500,000. We've done something that was unintended for that industry that we need to undo if we're going to make sure that, yeah, like I'm just talking about, keeping food costs down and keeping our competitiveness up. Looking at that, and then I've got a bill being heard today in transportation that adjusts the fees that motorcycles pay. Right now, a motorcycle, you pay the fee as if your bike weighs 4,000 pounds, but no motorcycle weighs anywhere close to that. So just making sure that, you know, our tax code is fair and is charging people at the rates that make sense for them, right? So, you know, that would provide some money back in people's pockets. And then finally, I'm working with the governor's office on a proposal that if you don't get your license from Department of Health on time, for example, or you don't get your permit issued on time, then you're given a refund. We're working hard at making sure that our agencies are prioritizing those customer-focused experiences the most and processing the things that people depend upon to create jobs and access to healthcare and you name it. People depend upon getting their licenses and permits on time for not only making their paycheck, but also providing really important services to the people that we serve. So those are a few different things I'm working on, and my podcast answer to that question.
Have we failed to touch on any of the bills that you're sponsoring that you feel like are your key efforts during this 25-26 biennium? They may have been introduced last year and didn't go anywhere, but this is a new year. How are your key bills going?
We've got a lot happening, and I know that a lot of us here in the legislature hear about concerns of what is happening at the federal level. my mantra is to control what I can control. You know, what's right in front of me. And at the end of the day, there are very tangible things that still need to happen at a state and local level to make people's lives better. And I am laser focused on making our government, like we have talked about today, be more effective and care about the little things that impact people's day to day. One example of that is a bill I've got on derelict vessels. We had the Dominion tug sink in the Bremerton Marina this September, and millions of dollars and thousands of gallons of oil and months of time extricating later, it's finally out as of December 1st. You know, my district is no stranger to this since we have the whole district essentially surrounded by water, but we have so many vessels that are in need of getting hauled out of the water because of disrepair, or else it's going to cost us massively on the back when they do. So this is a bill aimed at helping DNR and our local law enforcement, our partners, be able to identify boats that are in trouble and be able to take action on getting them out of the water before they sink. So that's a bill that's being moved out of committee this week, and I hope we get it done this year.
Before we end this podcast, there are two things I do want to touch on. And one is Happy Groundhog Day.
Six more weeks of winter.
Six more weeks of winter.
Actually, you know what? We need snow in the mountains, so that's not necessarily unwelcome. I think a lot of our ag community is getting a little nervous about the snowpack.
I think if we can't handle six more weeks of winter, we're probably living in the wrong place. And the other thing is, how's your dog Blue?
Oh, he's doing awesome. Yeah, he's a, you know, a little 20-pound Chihuahua Corgi and lots of energy. And, yeah, trying to keep him entertained is maybe one of the biggest struggles I've got in my life. So, but he's the best.
That's a pretty good struggle to have. Okay, before we cut this off, I want to thank you for the coffee, by the way, and also find out, is there anything else you want to hit on here? This will be your last opportunity for Capital Ideas during your first biennium as a state lawmaker, and I don't want you to feel neglected.
Well, I appreciate that. No, it's just it's great to be here. Thanks for the opportunity. And, I think just the emphasis that I have on focusing on affordability, public safety, government delivery of the things that we say we're going to do with taxpayer dollars, like, is what I'm laser focused on. And I think that's what people expect of us. And we're going to keep at it. And we're going to be able to do that because of some great coffee that we have in our neck of the woods. So yeah, it's good to be here. Thanks.
Thank you. Addison Richards, 26th District in Washington State. I appreciate you being here. And that is Capital Ideas for today.
Thank you.
That was Representative Addison Richards, and we've come to the end of another episode of Capital Ideas. If you haven't subscribed yet, I hope you will. It's easy, and it's free, and it's important. This is your state government. What happens here matters a lot. We'll be here with a new conversation a couple of times a week throughout the legislative session, and you should be too. I'm Dan Frizzell for the Washington State House Democrats, putting people first since 1889, the year the Great Fire of Spokane destroyed 32 blocks in, you guessed it, Spokane. Thanks for your time.